Welcome to episode 197 of Telepractice Today with Kim Dutrow-Allen and Dr. Todd Houston.
Hey, welcome back to another episode. I have been having some videos from the speech dude, Chris Wegner, pop up on my Instagram, and he's shared a lot recently about kids with demand avoidance and how powerful giving them choices is in avoiding that demand avoidance response that they can have. And sometimes that's hard in telepractice because I think we feel like we have to like have everything pulled up, ready to go, that maybe we're kind of like afraid to have something go not to plan. But the more that I found like being flexible, even having giving my students an opportunity of like, I have this social skill lesson or this social skill lesson ready to go. Which one would you like to do today? And especially with my high school students just starting out with, how are classes going? Is there anything that you're worried about that you want help with or want to work on? I talked to a student today. We went through some problem solving skills for how to buy a car and how to open a bank account because he's getting ready to graduate. And so just giving a lot more of that autonomy and choice to back to our clients. And sometimes that can be hard in telepractice without some pre-planning or flexibility. So I wanted to encourage everyone to do that.
Yeah, I think I agree. When we can give them more autonomy to live their lives and do their thing.
Yeah. It makes such a huge difference with like their engagement and buy-in to everything when they feel like, you know, you're trying to help them with the things that they want help with.
Exactly. And what's, you know, my old professors used to talk about, you know, keep things as functional as possible, you know, and easily transferable. So yeah, those students need that. So on the show today, we have someone, Kelly Paul from CoView. And CoView is a new platform that's out there. And she's going to share what they're doing with this company, with CoView, and how this platform might be the thing for people to try out. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Hi, are you creative? Do you want to give a webinar or teach a course? Maybe you're a writer. Do you want to create a blog? Maybe you have an idea for a podcast. Whatever your passion is, we at 3C Digital Media Network want you to be a content creator so we can bring your ideas to life. So, to get started, visit our website at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com. And sign up to be a content creator. We look forward to seeing your passions come to life on our platform.
Hey, we want to welcome Kelly to the podcast. Kelly, tell us a little bit of your background and how you found speech-language pathology.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. I started in speech out of grad school, and I was initially on the ground as a speech pathologist for about 12 years and worked at a lovely school district and really learned the ins and outs of everything IEP related and working with kiddos that are low income and kids that have English as a second language is a wonderful experience. And then a move brought my family to a different location and I needed a change of work. So I started in teletherapy at that point. And I've been in teletherapy for about 12 years. Worked first as a clinician, worked my way through the system, served a lot of kiddos in California and had a great time and a great experience, really worked at some wonderful schools. And over time worked my way into an employee position at my at the company I worked for and was able to work both supporting clinicians, which was wonderful, and really learning the challenges of teletherapy when you're new to teletherapy and how you're adapting to it. And then, you know, problems that we all run into at schools and how to work through those. And then I moved over and worked on the account side and kind of did the same thing with the accounts, getting them ready and getting them set up to understand teletherapy and how it works. And did that for about 10 years and then just recently made a change and moved to a teletherapy platform company where I don't get to work with providers in the same way as I did before, but our platform is clinically developed to support clinicians in their work day to day.
And so let's just kind of talk about the platform for a bit. And so who or what is the background of the brain? What am I trying to say? The brains behind it, you know, the mission of the platform. Was it designed specifically for speech language pathology or allied health?
Yeah. So it's a fun story. I work for CoView Global, and it is a word that is spelled C-O-V-I-U, but it's said as CoView, like two people viewing, always jumps and startles people when they see the name and what do you say and is it French and all of that, but it is it is Australian. And the company started with a speech pathologist and a software engineer talking about how these remote kids in Australia were not getting the services they need to be successful. And it was a real hindrance. And they were challenged by that. And so conversations evolved and let's build a platform. And they were able to get funding through a university and really work to build this out. And over time, it blossomed, and they were, you know, using the platform for school age kiddos, and then moved into the hospital setting too, and working in, with true medical practices as well as mental health clinics and whatnot. And it just really is it's the top platform in Australia, and it's used by so many different avenues of work and therapy and physical therapists, dermatologists, physicians, and it makes the platform really unique in itself because it has all these different workflows based on the type of medical setting or school setting that it is serving. So it's fascinating and it's very fun because no two platforms look the same. And that's what is really special about it is that it has a lot of abilities to configure for yourself. So about a year and a half ago, the company decided they were ready to grow and start a new adventure. And so America became their adventure. And they, as the company moved over, we already had a partnership with Pearson in Australia. And that was going well for our school age population there. When we came here, worked a little bit in, you know, trying to dabble in contracts with mental health, trying to dabble in the hospitals and in the schools. And then just in the last 6 months, they've decided we're going to focus really hard on education as our platform and really use our partnership with Pearson, grow some other partnerships, and really, really try to focus on one area before we're growing to many different areas. And that's when I was lucky enough to join the team. And it's a different workplace because it is made up of the majority of our team are software engineers. They are, they're building things and we are only building for clinicians. And so we have a business team, we have an HR team, and we have me as a clinical person. So I get a lot of, what are you talking about? And I return with a lot of, what are you talking about when they talk to you? But it's really special in the fact that it is a purpose-built platform for clinical services. So
that's great. Yeah, there's so many, there's a number of platforms that I've used, and I, as a clinician, always think, why can't it just do this? And I know that there's probably so many software and programming reasons why it can't just do what I want it to do, but it always seems so easy to just, on my side, why can't it just do this?
I have been told that as I've asked many of those questions myself, and I get explained to why it can't just do that. And it's not just to put a button right there. There's a lot that goes into putting that button there. But what is really neat is our company is evolving and our platform changes. We have releases every couple of weeks, and those releases and changes that are made to the platform are based on clinician requests. And, you know, and obviously we can't take every request at every moment. We'll definitely consider everything that people give us, but we are able to take requests that will impact the most providers and make some changes. And so clinicians get to see the requests and ideas that they have wanted put into action over time. And so that's really neat. And it's fun to see the changes. And, you know, some things we just get so used to what we're doing, you know, what we're working with that you forget about. You can just do it in your sleep. But then a new clinician comes on and says, well, could you put this button here? Or I don't understand what that label means or something. And, you know, and then it becomes a much better thing for everyone. So it's really neat to have that community that's building it out together. And so we have about 90,000 users worldwide.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of input, a lot of different folks that are, you know, giving perspectives from different places, from our behavior health centers, from our hospitals, from our schools. So it all comes together and it's actually really fun. I feel like it's like a holiday every time we release things because we're excited too. So it's fun.
That's awesome.
And so the company is set up as a subscription to the platform.
It is. It is okay. A subscription. And so that's a really neat thing too, because individual providers can have a subscription. And I know for our SLPs, a lot of our clinicians are looking to have their own practice or, you know, contract directly with their schools. And that's kind of my target as far as helping those school clinicians find their next path. And one of my favorite parts of my job. And so we've really worked to be very reasonably priced so that an individual clinician could have their platform. And we offer different tiers of leveling of what's going to be featured on your platform for those individual clinicians so they can find the price point that matches best with them. And then they have the choice to pay monthly or yearly, and that's going to change their pricing too, maybe a little discount if you're paying yearly. But our providers then have the choice in what's really important in my needs for my therapy. And then we also, you know, we work on a larger scale with staffing agencies and with schools directly where they will use our platform and they have the ability to white label it. So it looks like their platform. And so the school district can have their logos on it. The staffing agency has their logo on it. It becomes their platform. And we're just the folks running it in the background. And we're finding that, you know, with a lot of our staffing agencies, really nice fit because we've tried to do it all, you know, tried to be the staffing agency and the platform, and that can work wonderfully and it can be a lot of work also. And so giving us that platform piece and them focusing on helping their clinicians be the best at their job has really worked nicely for some of the companies we're working with. So kind of exciting there. And then we have kind of a la carte features for everyone. And they're just extras. You know, maybe you really, really want some kind of a built-in form, or you want a shared mouse control. You can add those types of features on if that's something that's, you know, really important to the work you're doing. The other thing we found that's really cool is that providers, and I know this for myself, but I love to do literacy. I love to do language therapy, and I love to use books and integrate all of that into my therapy. I'm not really a worksheet person. I'm not really a card person. I just really like books. And so within our platform, we don't hold a library. And for me, I was a little worried about that in the beginning, like how are clinicians going to do this and what do they do? But there are so many amazing resources out there, from free resources, especially post-COVID, to, you know, paid subscriptions, monthly subscriptions or whatever, that it's been really fun to watch clinicians find their favorite things. And then we're able to integrate it into their platform. So then they have those pieces as a button, as a click within their platform, and then they can, you know, open that up and screen share and share their mouse and, you know, do that with those materials that are their favorite things. Or if they have that file folder of activities, pull it right in, and that's fine. And so I've found that it wasn't a hurdle like I had initially imagined when we came into the school setting and really focused on that. It's been very natural in the fit. So that's been really fun, and it's been exciting. We have a partnership with Boom. And so we do have a Boom button for our clinicians that want that and have their subscription or whatever, and, you know, things like that. And that's where a fun part for me is always trying to gain those partnerships. And again, driven by clinicians, oh, we really are interested in this, or this would be so cool to have on the platform. And those are things that I can then target. But really neat to see how providers do their therapy based on, you know, their passions.
That's awesome. So those become like a bookmark in the platform, their materials?
Yeah, so it's kind of dependent on how we set up the partnership. With Boom, we have a Boom button in our platform. And so as soon as the clinician hits the button, it takes them to their Boom account and they're able to sign in and go straight to work. Other places, maybe we have a discount code because it's a partner, but we haven't gone all the way to that application button. So then if they're using both systems, they're going to get a discount. And then in those situations, they're going to do a screen share or something like that to open up and use that.
And so you've described the platform really, really well. And I appreciate that. When people are out there and they're trying to decide on which platform that they may want to subscribe to, and there's several, as we know, how do you sell CoView versus X platform out there?
Very true.
Not Twitter, imaginary platform.
Very true. Yeah, there are a lot of choices out there, and what I really like to talk to providers about is think about what you need for your platform. That's so important because, you know, what somebody working in voice therapy needs versus somebody working with preschool students may be really different. Their engagement pieces may be different. The cameras they need, you know, could be different. So they need to be thinking about those. You know, when we talk to PTs or OTs, I want to make sure that they're looking at a platform that can take in external cameras on both sides so that they can be doing their exercises or whatnot. And so there are those factors of what does your work require. I also think it's really important to look at the cost. Cost is really important for a small business or an individual provider because they vary hugely. And you have to think of all the pieces of your costs. And I see clinicians do amazing things on very low budget. Like maybe they are going to use their soap note tracking through Google Sheets or they're going to, because they're at this time, it's not right for them to purchase something that has a soap note documentation. And that is something for the CoView platform. We don't hold any data. So we wouldn't hold soap notes or something like that for compliance. It's been a better piece for us and a better practice to have partnerships with some EHRs and EMRs that can hold that data if folks want to do that. And we, you know, have that integration for them. And, you know, they're from very small to huge companies and really complicated EHRs and EMRs based on what the needs are of that clinician. And that's where we can guide them for that piece. But the other thing that I really think for myself is thinking is how do you make it as simple as possible for yourself? And that's really important because teletherapy it's one thing to be a speech pathologist and do a good job. It's another higher step to be a speech pathologist and do teletherapy. It's slightly different, you know, and you have to become comfortable with your platform if you're going the platform way. So what can you handle yourself? Because some of the platforms are really complicated and that's not a good fit for a lot of people. And it's, you know, so that's something that you have to look at. How are the tools set up? And I really encourage everyone before you sign a contract or whatever to do a demo, to do a trial subscription. It's really important to see if it feels right to you. And then the other thing that I think is really important is support. Is there a live person that you can speak with? Is there somebody that's going to be able to get back to you, you know, when you're having this trouble? And a lot of times, honestly, a lot of troubles that folks run through are just new to using a platform and it's different and, you know, they have to get used to that. That's what a lot of the issues are, but it's really helpful to have a person. And so having a person, having a library that you can resource if you're trying to practice at 9 o'clock at night and, you know, on your own or whatnot, those are really important pieces. And I also think that we as clinicians, we have to be on top of the fact of, is it HIPAA compliant? Is it FERPA compliant? And right. And most of them are, but there you have to be careful because some of our free subscription or free sets of platforms or maybe business related platforms more than clinical, they're not. And if you know, you don't want to be in that situation where you get caught off guard and you have a security breach like that. So
exactly.
Those wow. Are great things to think about.
Yeah. I'm impressed. I'm ready to sign up. So
you mentioned too a partnership with Pearson. What do some of the evaluations look like on the platform? Because I know that that is something that can be really difficult over telepractice to think about. How are they going to point to this, or how am I going to, you know, evaluate that? So tell us about that.
Yeah. That I will say is my pride and joy of our platform. And I'm so proud of our engineers and all the hard work they've put in. And I did, Kim, to your comment before, like make a comment of, well, I could do that. That would be easy. Let me do the coding. And then I got a lesson on how to do the coding, and I cannot do that. So it is a really amazing thing. But we do have our partnership with Pearson, which we're really proud of, and they've been wonderful partners to us. So what we have a psych assessment battery, and then we also have the SLP battery, and it's a suite of assessments to get providers up and going. And when we put this together with Pearson, their big focus was on, what can we do to level up to make kids more engaged, to limit distractibility? And how can that look as you're building this out from the beginning? And really important, right? Because testing is hard and testing is stressful for kids, and they do get wiggly and try to sneak off onto other tabs and all that kind of stuff because it's hard. And so the first thing that our platform does that I love is once the clinician opens the assessment book, and we're just talking the front page of the self or whatever, it automatically changes to what we call an asymmetrical view, where the provider is still going to see the clinician's video herself or himself, and they will also see the student's video. But the students on the student side, they will only see their clinician. The other video disappears. And it's not like, and this was a big thing because we've done the hacks. We've all been there on different platforms.
Like the sticky notes and things like that.
The sticky note over the camera, or it turns gray, or you shut it off their camera themselves, and then they're fixated on how the heck do I get that back on? And they're trying to click on the mouse and whatever. So this is so clean. It's just the kiddo is just seeing you as a provider. So that is really nice. Then the next thing, which I love just because, is you put in your student's name and you put in their date of birth, and then it enables you to open the book and it calculates their birthday for you. So you do that. And that is a win. But so then once you start on your assessment, the pages look just the same as if you're on the easel. But on the clinician side, down the right, they have a top click, which will give them all the instructions on that assessment that they can look at a fast glance, where to start for different ages, basal and ceiling rules. And then as they are going through each of their stimulus prompts, it is giving them the full instruction, but it's also highlighted in teal because that's our color. It is giving them what to say out loud. So that they can read right off of that instead of having to look down at
it's all there. That's back great. There.
Then the next two features, which these seem to be clinician favorites, I will say, is one, there is a notification if your kiddo clicks another tab on their computer. You will get an alert across your screen saying student is distracted, student is, you know, no longer focused, so that you can take a break. You can, you know, close your assessment. You do have the ability to turn off the easel on the student side, and you don't lose your page or whatnot, and then come back to it after you've maybe played a game or taken a stretch break or whatever. But the other thing that that I do really love is the way that you are notified, or you can see the student's work. One, you can see their mouse, so you're seeing what they're choosing and their thought process. On the student side, you're going to get that bubble that where they click and then it filters away, so they just see that bubble filter away. But on the provider side, the bubble stays, and it's,
oh my goodness, have no idea how many times I've been like, I missed what they did on the following directions, because I was trying to write, I was still writing down or doing something, and I missed what they did on the following direction.
100%. So those clicks are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, up to 5 billion if you have the happy clicker kiddo, but they will, they stay. So
and it even numbers them, so you know what order they did them in. Oh my goodness.
Yes, it's so fabulous. Yeah. And so then when the clinician turns the page goes clean by itself. Okay. But if they were to go back to that page and they're still, you know, the numbers are there on that page so they can check. So if you've messed up on your protocol and you've, you know, put in the wrong line or whatever, you're still going to be able to see their answers. So those numbered clicks, they're like gold. They are excellent. It was such a wonderful idea. And I'm really, it is one of those things that providers get really excited about. So really, yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to all of like the problems that that would fix for me. Earlier today, I was relying on the reflection in the students' glasses to be able to tell if they were on the right screen or not. And they were not. So.
Never a dull moment.
Yep.
Very true. Well, Kelly, I think it's time for the most important aspect or time of this interview, and that is our moment of zen.
Uh-oh.
So we have 10 questions we ask our guests, and we have three different lists: list A, list B, and list C. And so which list would you like?
Oh, I'm gonna go with B.
You're a B person.
I'm a B.
Okay, here we go. Would you describe yourself as an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an extroverted introvert. I am a really, you know what? I love this type of conversation where I get to talk about something passionate, but I'm usually pretty quiet. So outside of this.
We've gotten that before, you know, where it's
yeah,
a little bit of both. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
I feel like the best compliment that I've received is, oh, that's a good one. I feel like you've helped me. I mean, that is something that just is near and dear to my heart. If someone feels they've found a resource in me and that they're going to be more successful, I think that would be me.
Cool.
That's a good one. I had a poor teenage boy who got to watch me break into tears when on his last day of being a senior, seeing me, he's like, thanks so much for everything you've done. And he said it very just like nonchalantly, and I'm bawling. So,
it does.
Yeah. Next question is, what's your greatest fear?
My greatest fear is, I feel like my greatest fear is probably related to my own children in maybe letting them down in a way that, you know, it was a true need and I wasn't able to fulfill it. I don't want to have that feeling. I feel like my greatest fear growing up was them learning to drive.
Yes, I was the one to take my kids out to teach them. My wife couldn't do it. Her nerves just could not do it.
I don't think I can do it. I got 4 more years to worry about that.
It's a new level of parenting.
Yeah.
Yes. Both my kids came to me and said, Dad, we just can't. We can't with Mom.
My kids would say the same thing. I have that air brake in my on the side of the window or whatnot that I pump the brake of my foot all the time. And I still do it. And they're good drivers.
Well, my wife would grab onto the dash, both hands, and try to tell them what to do and make them more nervous than they needed to be.
I respect that.
So I had to take them on. What do people misunderstand most about you?
Understand most. Wow, that's a really hard one. Okay, what do they misunderstand most? I think that I don't want it that I'm trying to do everything for them. I'm really not trying to do everything for everyone. I just really want to help. And I sometimes have to pull myself back. And I feel like maybe it's misguided in the fact that I'm trying to do everything for them.
Excellent.
That sounds like when my daughter kicks me out of the kitchen when she's like, I was going to make this myself, Mom. You're taking over.
I know.
Next question is, which superpower would you choose to have?
I would choose to have I would choose to have a superpower that allowed me to stay awake after 7:30 at night and not fall asleep on the couch.
It's not a good superpower. I have it and it's not great. I'll give it back.
Honestly, that's what I want. I feel like I'm missing half the evening with my family because I'm punked out and they know it. And like, oh, let's go to the movies. Oh, but why? Mom's going to sleep through it. And, you know, it's just what happens.
Yes, it's yes. When I was younger, I could stay up all night, not, you know, miss a beat or get 4 hours of sleep. Not anymore.
Yes.
I'm with you. I'm just like ready to go to bed. And even so, I have a dog that's in the bedroom with me. And even my dog has learned to tell the time on the clock and knows when to get up. I swear he looks at the clock. It's a digital clock and he has recognized the pattern and he will start waking me up at the exact time every morning.
Yeah, I know. You know what? My dogs go up and go to bed as soon as I fall asleep on the couch. Like they know I'm going to be following them really soon. So they're up there when I get there. Yeah.
My dog knows I like to sleep in. So his favorite thing is to get in bed with me in the morning after he's gone out to the bathroom and go back to sleep.
Those pets. Okay. Yeah. Do you have a favorite quote or a motto?
My favorite, I think I have two. Let's do this. Let's do this is my motto. And today is a great day. Those are mine too, that I truly live by those every day. And folks that work with me and stuff, they hear it. Every email is signed, have a great day. Something's happening in the great day. So, yeah.
I love it. That's great. Which era of history would you most like to have lived in?
Oh, that's a great one. I feel like I would love to have been like the person in a castle in England, you know, and knights and shining armor and all that kind of stuff. I really feel like in wearing those giant dresses and the fancy hats and going to those balls, I'd be into that. Yeah.
You liked Cinderella, didn't you, when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Yep, I can see that. What makes you laugh the most?
What makes me laugh the most? I think it is my kids making fun of my dad or of my husband for his dad jokes. Yeah, the dad jokes really get me. They do. I love dad jokes.
That's great. Do you have a hack that you've discovered that works well? And it can be any kind of hack, from around the house to telepractice to anything.
Feel like my hack has to be, and I don't know if we actually consider it a hack, but I have to set my clothes out the night before. I'm an early riser, but I have to have it out the night before or the day is going to go astray. So maybe that's my hack. I don't know.
I do the same. So
you exactly,
I do exactly the same.
I got to start doing that with my daughter. We have the biggest fights in the morning about what she's going to wear.
And if I don't, I put on like 6 different shirts. And why every morning? But if it's out the night before, that's what I'm wearing. So
you don't have to think about it.
No. Just do it. Yeah.
Was it Obama who talked about, you know, the number of decisions he makes every day?
Yeah.
That was one less. If he can just had all the suits thing lined up. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, last question is, if heaven exists, what do you want to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I think that I would love him to say that I served my purpose, that I did well. Yeah, I think that's really important. And like, have I made a difference? And, you know, I'm probably in the big scope of things, I'm not going to change the world, but if I can make a difference in somebody's day or somebody's weaker life, that's important.
I don't know, that click numbering thing sounds pretty life changing.
I got you, Kim.
Yeah, you've already changed Kim's life right there. She's salivating.
Yep.
Well, Kelly, it's been great learning more about you as well as about CoView. How can people learn more about the company or reach out?
Yes, that'd be great. Definitely find me on LinkedIn. I am Kelly with an IE, Kelly Paul, but also kelly@coview.com is my email. And I am so happy to meet with anybody and everybody just to even talk about their teletherapy path and what options are out there for them, or see if I can connect them with someone else if they need help with that. But also coview.com is our website. And if anybody were to go in and book a demo, I'm going to see the email come through. Also within the platform, everyone has the opportunity to do a 2-week free trial with no credit cards or anything like that. And those will come to me and I will be checking in on those folks. So
great.
Love to chat with anybody.
Excellent. And well, good luck with everything and with the company and entering the U.S. market. And you have to come back in a while, you know, about 6 months or so, and give us an update.
That's a deal. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Kelly Paul for joining us on this episode. I think Kelly really describes some very ideal things when you're thinking about subscribing to a platform, a telepractice platform, and what you need to think about. And of course, if you're interested in CoView, which is C-O-V-I-U, go check them out at www.coviu.com and see if what they have to offer will fit your needs. And you can also reach out to Kelly, it's K-E-L-L-I-E, at Coviu, C-O-V-I-U.com. Reach out to Kelly, and I'm sure she would be of help and would love to answer any questions you may have. And with that, thank you for joining us on this episode. If you don't mind, leave us that 5-star review. That helps us get more people listening to the podcast and improves our rankings and moves us up the chart. And do invite some of your co-workers, friends, neighbors, countrymen to listen to the podcast. We want to get more ears listening to what we're doing, and we appreciate anything you can do to help. And until next week, be safe and be kind. This has been a production of the 3C Digital Media Network.